good morning. Let's be called to worship. Not officially called to worship, but look at the announcements and the pre-worship activities. We have a number of announcements in the bulletin. You should have received a newsletter that share more announcements with you, and we call your attention to look at that. If you're on our mailing list, if you're not, we'd like to get you on there, so put your name and address down, and we'll try to get you on the mailing list. Also, we want to mention, there's Patrick, mention the youth last evening, Friday night until pretty late last evening. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sunday school was going over. We had a 30-hour famine, and there were about 20 of us. Some came and went, so all together about 25. But we really focused on what it meant to fast and be in a famine. We had several devotions and read scripture, and really became a weekend of prayer. And we raised quite a bit of money. We had a goal of $500. I think we went over that. I haven't added it all up yet, but all the money is going to go to Haiti. So we had a good weekend.
We just started with that.
Okay. Are there any other announcements? I will announce that the youth, the spa day, the fundraiser, is planned for March 20th. There is an announcement in the bulletin board, but we are asking for appointments for manicure, pedicure, hairstyling, and massages. And we had flyers, but we found some misspellings in it, so we're going to have to reprint those. But we are asking for appointments, so you can call here at the church and call me, and we can sign you up for an appointment. Are there any other announcements? Are there any other announcements? Are there any prayer requests or praise reports?
Ronnie Windrow had an allergic reaction to something today. Ronnie Windrow, and so lift him up. Ed can probably give us an update on Miss Faye Puckett.
We have to do.
Yeah.
Ed shared with her. And
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Mike Bryan is making it, had surgery. We're going to build a ramp this week. We're not sure just what day. And then, let's see, that was it.
Yes. Continue to pray for Hogman and Vicky. We went yesterday. Part of the famine was for 2 hours. We went and just helped clean up that shop, and it's been almost 6 months, maybe. And I think that there's still a long time of need there. So
4 months, but yeah.
Continue to pray. If not, let's take this time for lighting the candles and preparing our hearts for worship. Me and join in the call of worship. We are on a journey of faith. Jesus is our leader and our guide.
We place our trust in Him.
As the daylight hours grow longer, our journey takes on an urgency.
We must prepare our hearts for Jerusalem.
Do not fear. God goes before us into Jerusalem, into the world.
Amen. Song is number 81.
When after Ed spoke, it ought to be easy for us to say, "What a wonderful Savior." That's just...
What a wonderful Savior we are. say. It's the song of the forgiven, trolling out the Amazon. It's the song of faith and believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of the grateful choir. Let's praise this echo from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none rings truer than these.
We come before you this morning with so many concerns and needs and a need to express them. And Lord, thank you for hearing our requests that are brought unto you. And Lord, we come this morning as a portion of your people, recognizing that we are part of a worldwide church. And Lord, we thank you that you have sent your Son Jesus to be the Redeemer for all who would trust in him and his work here on earth, his sacrifice, which was also your sacrifice. And Lord, as we have assembled, we shared our hurts, our pains, our hopes, our dreams, and now we just want to lift up our hearts to you. And we thank you that, yes, you are such a wonderful God. And Father, that Jesus came to reveal your wonderfulness and your goodness, your power, your love, your salvation. And Lord, as we have come to express ourselves before you, let your Spirit so work within us. And Lord, that we could speak and act and think in a manner that would be pleasing to you and encouraging to one another. And Lord, we just offer ourselves in the name of Jesus, now coming to pray as he taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. We recognize that we're having a little sound system difficulties, and we are in the process of trying to make some corrections.
We are now at the point of the service where we make our statement of faith using the Apostles' Creed. It can be found either on the screen or in your hymnals at number 716. Please join with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confession this morning comes from Numbers chapter 22, verse 34. Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, if you are displeased, I will go back. Our prayer of confession, which is in unison. There is a certain winter in our spirits today, O Lord. We feel that the journey on which we have embarked will demand too much of us. There are so many other things in our lives which claim our spirits, our energy, our hopes, and fears. It is easy to be like Jerusalem, turning our backs on those whom you send. The world shouts its solutions to us and then deserts us when we are in need. Forgive us for the many times in which we have stayed from your pathway. When we have chosen not to hear the cries of those in need, when we have belittled the gifts and skills you have given us in order to avoid serving others, heal us, O Lord. Place us back on your path to Jerusalem to live, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Hear these words of assurance. When God called your name, God called you to a journey of faith. Do not be afraid to look inside to see those things which are holding you back from being who God created you to be. Place your trust in God, who is always with you, loving you into wholeness. Amen.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
I did want to say one more thing about what Ed was talking about. I think the best thing, the beautiful thing, if there's a beautiful thing at all, and there's a couple, is that Ed acknowledged where the power comes from. You know, I mean, anybody can say have a mantra or say a little thing, but that was great. So you could have gone on another hour, I'd been fine. But just the fact that we should all do that, really. Just it's not just praying; it's acknowledging that. You know, who we pray to is what matters. Not that we pray, of course. Oh, it's 5:21 if y'all haven't found it already. beautiful blind lady wrote this song, and she saw better than some sighted people. So.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me that continually dwells. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
Okay. Thank you, Ellen.
Hear these words of wisdom from Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. The human mind may devise many plans, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will be established. Think about this truth as you return to God your gift. Will the ushers please come forward?
Go to God in prayer. Who will lead us in expression of thanks this morning? Certainly, we have thanksgiving in our hearts. Will you express it?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day, this beautiful church family, and all these talented people that bring loving hearts and open minds and precious gifts to you and to each other, and help strengthen this church family.
may be seated. Our preacher this morning is Allison and Haley Hatfield. Do you have anything to say about them, Savannah?
The greatest gift that Jesus left for the church here today with us every single moment is the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, our prayers wouldn't be heard. We wouldn't have understanding of God's Word. So He is, without being seen with our eyes, He is always present with us because He sent His promise. And the song that girl is going to be singing, it's called Come Holy Spirit, it's a prayer, and they will be singing it in Latin.
Children's message now, so if the children would like to come forward. Thank you.
church for those who want to go, or whose parents want them to go. Maybe we'll put it that way.
Our scripture lesson this morning will be read by Dylan Holt.
Galatians 3:26-29 says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Ephesians 2:17-22. "He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as a chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit." Ephesians 3:4-6. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles and heirs together with Israel, members together one body, and sharers together in the promise of in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. These are passages of scripture about the church. I assume that you gathered that, but if you didn't, now you know. Letters of the Apostle Paul to the church, to two different churches specifically, the church at Galatia, are called Galatians, and then the church at Ephesus. There's so much to say about the church, and I tried to preach on the church about the church last week, and felt that I should preach on it today, and we still will have a lot more to learn about the church. You cannot cover the church in 2 sermons, or maybe 22 sermons, or maybe even 122 sermons. When will we ever know all that we need to know about the church? It's almost like the Bible. We think we know it, and then we pick it up and read it, and we find that there's something else. That's in there too. Though we've read over it, our mind may have been wondering or something when we read it the last time. Can you tolerate a grandchild story? You may have heard it. I've told it. I may have told it from the pulpit, somewhere in the back of the recesses of my mind, but let me share it anyway. It's about the church. It's about Braxton when he was 3. He's 4 and a half now, I guess. About time they moved, he had 4 different churches that he had names for. Our church, this church, Jenkins Church, where he attended before he was born and came almost every day, 3 or 4 days a week when Susan was working here. So this was, for him, almost as familiar as home, maybe more so. And he spoke of this church, Jenkins Church, as God's house. This church is God's house. Drive down the street, he would see the white church. If you're going north, I guess that's up the street. Going north, see the United Methodist Church. Notice the first United Methodist Church, it was a white building. And he named it God's White Church. Well, they moved to Memphis. They attended a church with brown brick, and he named it, you guessed it, God's brown church, or the brown God's house. It's white God's house, white God's house, brown God's house. And then one day, maybe more than one, they attended a church that had red brick, I mean red brick on it, and he referred to it as red God's house. So wherever he saw a church building, he would refer to it as God's house and identify or separate them by the different colors of the outside of the church. We know that the building is not really the church. It is the church house. We know also that God doesn't limit himself to hanging around churches. He's out in the world with you. He'll go home with you. You may not want him to, but he's there. He'll go to the bar with you and sit right there beside you if you go to such places. He'll go to the racetrack or the golf course and be right there with you. Now, sometimes you may wish that he wasn't there, but he's there in the form of the Holy Spirit. And so, yeah, this is God's house, a place where God's people meet, a place where God's people meet. Braxton's limited understanding was from a three-year-old. And maybe he'll have a better conception and as he grows over. But some of us get really on in years, and we still think that God limits himself to hanging around, following preachers around. It's good that he rides with us, isn't it? Because we all drive a little crazy. And hangs around the church house. And got all kind of stories about that, but I won't give them to you. But the church house, and some segments of society refer to it as the church house, or the house that the church meets in, but they refer to it as the church house. The church house is just the place where God's people meet, or where the church people meet, maybe some who are not yet God's people, and the place from which the church goes out to minister, the launching pad. I guess seeing the young people here for 30 hours this week, well, they didn't spend all of the 30 hours here at the church house. They went out from here to minister to this place, to that place, and some other place. But in Paul's writing, in the letter to the Ephesians, he talks about, you can read it right there before you, that together we make up a building. We're called the body of Christ, the church is. Individual parts of a physical human body, something that we'd all be familiar with, because we all have one, do we not? And we could identify with it. And Paul started talking about the ear, the eye, etc., etc., etc. We say, yeah, I can identify with this. Which part am I, or I'm this part, or I'm that part? He also talks about us being stones in that go together to make up the church. And in him, you too, you also, he's writing to the Ephesians, but the message that comes to us too, are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. God lives by his Spirit in the people who make up the temple of the Holy Spirit. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And then the verse before that, or the two verses before that, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. And then we get to verse 21. In him, the whole building is joined together. So,
You may be a stone somewhere in the side of the building, and somebody else may be a part of the roof. But together, we make up the church. Do we help protect those that need protection in the church? That's what the roof does. Or do we just support them? Or do we keep the wind from coming in and the winds of doctrine that are not sound that would blow us around? So you can carry this analogy pretty far. Let's think about the church. The church being a covenant community of believers. And when I refer to believers, I'm talking about those who believe in Christ as their Savior. Those who believe in His work as being the means which we obtain salvation. His life, His death, sacrifice on the cross, shedding His blood, His burial, His resurrection. Believing in Jesus' person, all that He is, life, death, burial, resurrection, overcoming sin that killed Him, our sin. Believers in Him, a covenant community of believers. Believers in God who sent Jesus, and in Christ. We're talking about the church. We're talking about the redeemed of the Lord. Those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I wanted to sing that song, Redeemed, after the confession this morning, of an affirmation or a proclamation. We have been redeemed. We are the redeemed. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. And how happy I am. We're talking, that's the church, the redeemed people of God. Redeemed from sin, redeemed from Satan, redeemed from hell. You know, we used to redeem our... Does anybody in here remember green stamps or S&H green stamps? Oh, you'd take them and redeem them? Don, you may have a book or two in your collection. Sheila, do they still use these as items that people save, though? They're kind of like history, like Confederate money, not worth much now, but people trade them. Baseball cards are from times go past. Anyhow, but will you take them and redeem them for a prize? Well, Christ redeemed us. He gave His life to redeem us from sin and Satan and an eternal separation from Him. Redeemed us unto eternal fellowship with Him Himself. The church. The church includes people of the past, the present, that's us, and the future. It came up in a Sunday school class the other day. What about those people who live before Christ come? Are they redeemed through Christ? Well, yes. They were looking forward to the fulfillment of the prophecy of the prophets. The prophets spoke of Messiah who would come. Especially, and I've referred you to this one so many times, Isaiah 53, who would bear the sins of the people. And they were putting their faith in the one who was to come. We today put our faith in that one who has come, who sacrificed His life for us, just as Isaiah the prophet had said. He's not the only one that spoke of the Messiah who would come. But that's Isaiah 53, 52 and 53 says it so vividly. And then Jesus gets to, was it Isaiah 61? Recorded in Luke chapter 4. He says, he read from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the, I started to say he closed the book, but it was written on a scroll. He handed it back to the keeper of the scroll and said, today this is fulfilled in your eyes. And he was talking about salvation. I think it's Isaiah 61. Today, this is fulfilled in your eyes. I have come to fulfill this, what Jesus said. So, the people before Jesus were looking forward to the Jesus who would come.
or the Messiah, they referred to him as or called him, we look back to the Savior, the Messiah, that has come. Our faith is in him. So it was, they looked forward to the one who would come. They hoped, they longed, and their hope was based on the message of the prophets. Church members, those who even are unable to respond. You know, some people don't have the ability to respond to God's love, to God's message. And God, in his great mercy and grace, takes care of them also. The church. We talk about the visible church and the invisible church. We mentioned that last week, but let's state it this way. Those who respond in faith to the grace of God revealed in Jesus Christ, or to Jesus, the Savior. Those who respond in faith and enter into a formal covenant with God and with each other. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, the Galatian letter, and he says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ." You're all sons of God through faith in Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Then he goes on to say, you're not still some of you Jews and some of you Greeks or Gentiles. You're one. And he said, now you kind of separate yourselves between those who are slaves and those who are free. They were both in the church. He said, we don't see slaves and free men. Or free women. We don't see that. We see believers in Christ. We see those who have faith in Christ. And we don't see male and female. We don't separate them. We're all one in Christ. It says, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So some people say, why do you Presbyterians or Cumberland Presbyterians have women preachers and women leaders of the church and women elders? Well, go to Galatians chapter 3, visit verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, what he says, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We got the promise of heaven. We will one day inherit the glories of heaven. And then children. Children are part of the church. And some people say, well, why don't you let children receive communion or partake of the elements? Well, the disciples tried to keep the children away from Jesus. And Jesus basically said, fellas, don't do that. He was nice. He said, quit keeping those children away from me. Children are important to me, Jesus said. Let them come to me. Took them in his arms and he blessed them. And we have that example of Jesus, how he loved them. The little children were brought to him for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. Concerned mothers wanted their children to be touched by Jesus. The disciples rebuked those who brought them. Can't you see them? Oh, Jesus don't have time for y'all. Wait till the children grow up. They might disturb him a little bit. Does he really have time? He's here for blah, 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 you know. And Jesus heard it. And he says, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And then when he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. But he took time to minister to the children. And then Peter is preaching to the Pentecost crowd. Acts chapter 2. The sermon on the day of Pentecost, where so many were added to the church. Verse 39, it says, talks about the children. But before that, people said, what can we do? What can we do? Because they were touched by the message, and they realized that they were not right before God, that they were estranged from God through their sin. And they said, what shall we do? What shall we do? And he called them to faith in Jesus Christ and told them some things to do. And then, but in verse 39, it's Acts chapter 2. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off. Some people may have thought that only the people
that lived in Jerusalem are those people who were direct descendants of Abraham could be a part of the kingdom. For all whom the Lord our God will call. That's what the promise of God is. The promise of heaven. The church. We closed last week talking about the church being warty. I think I referred to Cromwell, leader of England, reformer of England in the, was it 1500s? I forgot all that. But he's having his picture painted, and he says to the painter, says, "You better paint me just like I am." And he said, "You better paint my warts and my pimples, and you better not gloss it over, because if it doesn't look like me, I'm not going to pay you." And I paraphrased that a bit, but that's what the message was. He said, "You paint me like I am." Well, the church. The church is what it is. It's made up of people. And redeemed people, but we still got some rough spots in our life. We're not perfect yet, are we? We're still warty, or we still got some pimples. And we got some rough spots. And but we're imperfect. We're imperfect in our knowledge. We're imperfect in understanding God's will. We haven't grasped all of God's will yet. But though we are imperfect, we wait for the full redemption of the family of God. And it'll only be, I'm convinced, that the Bible says, I think I'm biblical in this, that we'll understand it all, but not in this life. That song, we'll understand it all by and by, but that by and by is in the next life, after this life is over. Yes, we're unperfect, but while we wait to understand it all, God has given us something to do, and one of those things he called us to do is worship Him. The church doesn't do anything that is more important than worshiping Him. Why do we build sanctuaries to worship Him in? It's been done since the day of the building of the tabernacle as the Israelites traveled from Egypt to the Promised Land. And then they got to the Promised Land, and under the leadership of Solomon, they built the temple, King Solomon's temple, a beautiful edifice for the worship of God. There is nothing more important for the church to do than to worship God. And to worship God. And then the Great Commission. We can't go witness according to the Great Commission till we have worshiped. We come into the presence of God. Isaiah did it. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. The Lord cleaned him up and sent him out to be a witness. So the second most important thing, I am convinced the Bible teaches, is to witness. Worship and witness. Fulfill the Great Commission. Go and tell about God's love through Jesus Christ. Lead people to trust in Jesus as we are trusting in Him. And till we get to worshiping and witnessing, we haven't done what God has called us to do. We need worship before we can witness. We need to come into the presence of God and be blessed by Him, and then we're sent out to be a witness. Worship being the number one function of the church, He sends us out to be a witness. And what is worship? We'll talk about that in another week or two or three. But when we add to, there's some things more that the church is called on to do. Worship, witness, fellowship. Fellowship, one with another. Study. We're called on to study. Study one with another and study individually. And then we're called on to help one another. To help one another. Prayer. And that testimony you gave. The church was here. A small portion of the church was gathered on Friday night. I believe it was the 19th. Ed and Sharon needed the church to be gathered. I wasn't here, but I was called. So I came in and met with them, and we prayed. We didn't know if we was praying right or not. We were just praying. We were trusting the Lord, expressing our faith before Him. And we don't know what the future is for May Puckett. The near future. We believe we know what the extended future is. But whether she lives or dies, we don't know that. Whether she gets out of the hospital, she's better. And we rejoice in that. But we don't know God's plan. But we know that there was some comfort given. And we believe that God heard our prayers, our pleas, and gave us, what, 2 weeks? Well, a week since then. Almost 2 weeks, yeah. The church needs to be praying more and more and more. We have opportunities. Parable of the weeds. That parable, somebody came and said to the landowner representing God, do we pull up these weeds or do we let them grow? They said, oh, let them grow. Because if you pull them up, you'll destroy the wheat that they're growing amongst. And then God will do the separating. You know, there may be some in the church that are not serious. One statement I read was the hypocrites. Because that's in the Westminster Confession, they talk about being the hypocrites that put up a good front, but we're not. But you have to let them grow along with the serious believers. We're not alone in our worship. We're not alone in our witnessing. We're not alone in our praying. We're not alone in our fellowship. The Holy Spirit is with us. Matthew 28, is it 19 or is it 20? 20b, I believe it is. The last part. Lo, I am with you. Even to the end of the age. Even to the end of the age. The church is to be a light. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl or a tub or a basket. Instead, you light a lamp and put it on a stand. That's what the church is. The light. The lighthouse. Shining. But we're individual. Little light. It puts us together. Hopefully. We let our light shine before men. Not that they will glorify us. But that they will see our good deeds and praise our Father who is in heaven. We'll talk about these another time too. The responsibilities or the opportunities of the church, but Christ gives us His Word, the Bible, and the sacraments to reveal God's grace and His judgment to His people, the church. Lord God, thank you. Thank you that Jesus established the church that we know. But we thank you for those people who met in your name, were in covenant with you way back even as far as Adam and Eve. Thank you, Lord, that we are a part of your great family. Help us, Lord, to be the people, the church that you want us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. We talked about the church being our belief. Made up of believers. Believers in Jesus. Believing in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Maybe this is the day that you'll publicly profess your belief in Jesus. Maybe you've never done that. And you feel that God is urging you today to come forward, as we call it, in the church. Before the church. And say, yes, I believe in Jesus. And then we talk about church being people who have faith. Entered into covenant with God and with one another. That's church membership. Believers need to make a decision to become part of the covenant. Enter into a covenant with God and with
each other with other Christians here in the local church. And if that's what you believe that God is calling you to do today, not because I would ask you to, but because God is urging you to, would you come forward and unite with this church? If God is asking you to do that or urging you to do that, you see. The song is 277. The church is one foundation. That's Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're going to stand together, if you will, and we'll sing 1 and 3, verses 1 and 3. And maybe your response would be this day, your public response. All of us can make a private response that we know that God is urging us to make, whatever that is. Enable us, by the power of your Spirit, to be the church that you call us to be. In Jesus' name. Be dismissed.